Good morning, this is Paul Segrist for the National Park Service. Today is Sunday, November 13th, 1994. I'm in Saratoga Springs, New York, with Anna Krupa. Mrs. Krupa came from Czechoslovakia in 1922. She was 15, had not quite turned 16 when she arrived here in America. We also have several other people in the room. We have Mrs. Krupa's daughter, Fran Gaba, G-A-B-A. We have a reporter from the Saratogian newspaper, Jillian Hirsch, and that's J-I-L-L-I-A-N, capital H-I-R-S-C-H. Present also is Ed Burke, photographer for the Saratogian newspaper, that's B-U-R-K-E. And for the sake of the tape, you may hear clicking and doors shutting and opening because Ed's going to take pictures and then leave. Anyway, thank you very much for letting me come out.
You're welcome.
Can we begin, Mrs. Krupa, by you giving me your birth date?
Yes. December 8th, year 1906.
And where exactly were you born?
I was born in Veľké Kostolany.
Can you spell that for
me,
please?
Well, where's Franny? Put that down for them.
All right. Fran, could you spell it out loud for us
yes.
in a full voice?
It's V-E-L-K-E-K-O-S-T-O-L-A-N-Y, Veľké Kostolany.
Mm-hmm. When you were born, was that Czechoslovakia?
No, that was Hungarian.
And whereabouts in the country is it? Do you know?
It's, you could say, close to Bratislava. Not close, let's say about 4 hours to Bratislava. That's the head of the Slovakia now.
And was that the main town when you were growing up, was Bratislava? Is that where you went?
Well, Ed was there, but I didn't know about it.
Well, let's begin by you telling me what you remember about the town itself that you grew up in.
Well, the town that I grew up, it's all farms. No factories. But now, the atomic, whatever it is, factory or what, it's about 3 blocks behind my house.
Well, what do you remember as a child? What do you remember, what sticks out in your mind about the town when you were growing up in?
When I was growing up, well, let's say I just start school, what was I, 8, 7 years old? That when the war start, World War I, that I remember, they used to tell us that we should be careful going to pitch the water like for cooking and drinking, because they killed that in Sarajevo, they killed that Nastup Tatron, what you have, he was supposed to become the president or king.
The Archduke.
Yes.
Killed, yes.
That I remember. Everybody was like scared that they're going to poison the drinking water. That I remember. And I remember when they say, instead of like we have now television or, you know, special something, they come out men from the town hall with the drum. That year and that year should come, like here you would say, to the Fordix. In 24 hours, everybody got to be there, you know? And
Excuse me a second. It would be best for the recording,
1914.
Actually, to not talk, unless I ask you specifically. If I do ask you, then make sure that you reply
yeah.
with a full voice so that
yes.
it is picked up.
And so that 1914, and that was in August, I was past Krabi. My mother went with my father to the station that he went to the war. And I had 2 cows under, hooked up around the horns on the field, on the pasture. That I remember, I was kind of disappointed that I can't go to the station. But I was the oldest, like, I had to do the cows. See, hold them by the chain. And that I remember good.
Can you describe for me the house that you lived in as a child?
Well, it was a house with 2 rooms, hall between, and there under one roof, Then there's like the storage room. Then there was the horses. Then there was the cows. And like on the end of it, like a garage where you chop the wood and things like that. See? But all under one roof.
What was the house made out of?
Homemade bricks out of mud. And what would you call it when you trash the wheat, all that ants?
All mushed up.
Crushed it up. That was the, supposed to be the big support for the bricks.
And what kind of roof did the house have on it?
That time, everybody had it straw.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you made a straw roof?
Yes, I could tell you. You have to beat the wheat off it with the, like, strong things, just the wheat. And this got to be separate straight. And then when it's straight, when you need for the roofing, you make it like a bunch to the top. To the top, you tie it tight. Even then you take it half of it and twist it that it's really tight. And when you have how much you're imagining you need it, you have the 2x4 on the roof, and each one, you take a piece of it and you tie it. You don't need the nails. You use from what you have on that, what would you call it, bunches or what?
Bunches of
you know
fat
how it,
is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, and you keep on going. You start it from the bottom with the bottom down, and then the rest of it with the top wheat. You know that it lays over, it hangs down, and that's the way you do it.
And how often would that have to be replaced?
Well, it's less good. But when a fire came, house next to house, the town went poof, you know? So not allowed no more. Then they start to make homemade shingles, you know? Well, that's just as bad, but it was supposed to be better.
Tell me how you heated the house.
What? Wood, your own wood.
With
if
what?
You have.
What did you,
put
burn
in,
the wood in?
You put it in the stove. You're like coal stove, you would call it here. See? And as far as baking bread, they had brick oven. They always used to make homemade bread. So that was the chimney for both. You connect it from the coal stove, and you have that brick oven made like part in the house.
How often would they make bread?
Oh, let's say it all depends how big family is, see? We usually make it about eight round bread, big ones, see? That it lasts. But you eat so much bread there, so one is just one day, all depends.
And what kind of bread is this?
Well, this is rye and with the barley mixed together. See?
So it's a coarse bread.
Yes.
Heavy.
See, you have rye, and then you have the wheat, what you call here, and then you have the barley. Barley, they have a lot. They use that like for, like you would say here, farina, but bigger, like small barley. See? And you could leave it for big. So all different things you make are out of that. And then when they have enough, they sell it to the town, to a beer factory, see? That I remember. And then, for the money, right in the town, they used to buy sugar. It was like a bullet, like a missile, you know, that you chop it off. It wasn't like now granulated. That was after the World War I, see?
Tell me some other foods that you ate on a regular basis when you were a child.
Well, soup every day.
How did they make soup?
They make soup, whether it's a bean soup, and whether it's a lentil soup, pea soup, and potato goes in everything. My grandmother used to say, if you have potato and you have salt, you're not hungry. You know? You make everything.
Did you eat a lot of meat?
No. Listen, you don't go buy because you don't have that much money. I remember my grandmother sent me with the egg to buy a vinegar. She didn't have even for the vinegar enough change to give me to go to buy the vinegar. So as far as meat, your own pigs, you raise, geese, chickens.
Did you slaughter your animals?
Yes.
Tell me how you slaughtered the animals.
Well, the pigs, well, they...
How did they do it?
Knife. You know, they stabbed like.
Did your family do it, or did you hire someone to do it?
Yes, and through the war, when there was no man from 18 to 55, even the woman did. So my mother even killed a pig. How she done it, I don't know, but she done it. Geese, chickens, doesn't matter. If you're 15 years old, you're supposed to know everything. Go and do it. The water is boiling, and they chase you through the yard to catch the chicken, kill it, and there it goes.
Is there a piece of furniture that you remember very vividly from your house in Czechoslovakia?
Not really. It looks more like almost homemade. They had dresser, you know, like fancy dresser for the girls. When she gets married, she gets certain dresser. And so many pillows and so one big wheel. Feathers, that's why you have the geese. You not so much for the meat, because after you roast the geese, it's not much left. Fat. See, you use the fat. When I was in Europe after we were married, and I had coal, and we went to sanitarium in Europe. You know what they gave you afternoon? Slice of rye bread with the coal, geese fat. It was supposed to be healthy for you.
What other uses did the fat have in the household? How else did you use the fat? You ate it. Did you use it for any other?
Sure. Pork fat. And if you have your own butter, if you have cows, you know, so they had butter. But not to use it like fresh butter. They melt it. See that it keeps in the dark room. There was no refrigerator. There was no ice. But it kept. And pork was always smoked good, that it lasts.
And is that something that the family also did, was smoke their own pork?
Smoked, yeah. They made everything. They used everything, every part of it.
Let me ask you what your father's name was.
Stephen, you know.
What was it in Czechoslovakia?
Stefan. Stefan, with the S-T.
Yes.
But on the S, is always that. That means Stefan. See?
And what was his last name, which would be your maiden name?
Porubsky.
And can you spell that, please, for us? Or Fran, can you spell it out loud, please?
P-O-R-U-B-S-K-Y.
Tell me what you know about your father's background, his family background.
Well, my father's background, I only know he works on the farm with the horses. See? They had quite a bit of the land, like, you know. So that was his steady work, even some help.
Was there a story about his childhood that he used to like to tell that you can
not
remember?
Really. I can't remember anything, you know. Like, he was on the field and doing the war, like I say, he was the first one. I think he was 42 that time. And he was captured in Russia. And he couldn't get home. The war was over maybe about 2 years. We thought he's forgotten and gone for good. Then finally he said he couldn't go home because there was so many turnover, revolution. He said he was like on the farm working. When there was a Red Guard going through, they were the winners. The owner, the woman, she come out with the red flag. When it was a White Guard going, she did the same thing. So he, in other words, like escaped. It wasn't like he was sent or allowed anything. He said he was more under the train hanging, and when the train stopped, behind the straw stack, he was hiding, and he ran after them. That's how he got home.
He literally escaped out of Russia.
Yes. And a kind of the trouble it was. It wasn't like settled yet for something.
Tell me about what your father's personality was like.
Very quiet, you know. I can never say he wasn't a drunk, just hardworking farmer.
Was there something that your father enjoyed doing for his own entertainment?
I couldn't really tell you. There was nothing. No car playing or parties, nothing, you know.
Do you remember as a child, and this would be before the war, is there a story about you and your father doing something together, perhaps, that comes to your mind?
No,
something
not
he
really.
Did for you, maybe?
I remember my grandfather. He was 62.
Is this your father's father?
Yeah. He was 62. I think he had diabetes because he was sitting, like, outside, like, in the garage. And my grandmother, she was bringing him like eat. And he was always sitting. I suppose he couldn't breathe. And he just turned over. He was dead. See? And he was 62. That was big funeral because he had five sisters and all the in-laws. I remember, I thought it was such a big party, big funeral. You know what I mean? So that's a big thing I know that it was.
Can you describe for me how a body was treated after somebody died? What did they do to the body?
They didn't do nothing because he was so swollen up, they had to put like pails under their casket in their extra room, like we had two rooms. So he was pretty bad.
And
so
the body was then laid out in the house?
In the house. Now they have it in the cemetery. They call it like for the dead.
Like
undertaker. Yeah. But it's not undertaker. It's just the chapel, and they made it the body should lay in there. Not like it used to be home. It was home all the time, never any other
and
way.
And then what happened after the body was in the house?
Then it's like a procession going wherever you are. They're walking with the casket and praying and singing, and that's it.
Were there any superstitions that you remember concerning the dead and how the dead
no.
were to be treated?
No, not, I don't know nothing.
Do you remember any superstitions or anything like that from the old
no.
country?
No.
Things people...
Nothing happened to me, so I don't have anything to tell.
Tell me what your mother's name was.
My mother's name was Julie.
And what was her maiden name?
Cheese. Very short, like cheese in Europe.
Do you know how it's spelled, Fran?
I would say cheese, right?
Cheese, yeah.
Can you spell it?
It would be C-I-Z. But you must understand, in Czechoslovakian, when you have a check mark over a C an S, or it adds an H, that check mark is in place. C becomes a ch.
Ch,
C becomes a ch.
Ch, yeah.
Did your mother ever tell you anything about your birth when you were born or when she was carrying you?
No, she didn't say nothing. Well, nothing to tell. There's a midwife. You know what I mean? And only thing I remember, in the same room, like I say, only two rooms, they have a bed in the corner, and special sheet is hanging like in the hospital when they put the curtains, because the kids, everybody is in the same room, you know? So that was the separation for the mother for the day or two.
The one concession to
privacy. Yes, that's the whole thing. And kids, don't listen, not to see it. That's the way it was.
Tell me a little bit about your mother's background and where she came from.
Well, her background, I really don't know much. I know she had to do everything herself. Her mother must have died. How early or how just before she was married, I can tell you that, you know.
What was your mother's personality like?
It was like strict. She had to be. She had to be as a man, take care of the job as a man, and she had to take care of the whole, whatever it was, life, whether it's horses or chicken or thing, and you have to, no pasture at all. Everything is farm. There is something growing there. There's no land that the cow could be outside. The cow had to be fed, that you cut the straw and the clover or something in it. That was have to be cut every day and feed them. They can't be loose because there's no place to let them loose. It would be doing some damage. That's why I had the cows on the chain. See? Because next trip is somebody else. And here we have the wheat cut. It's bare that the cows could be here. Maybe the clover is starting to growing or wheat. And this guy has a corn here and beans growing bushes. Of course, the cow is looking under bushes. And I was the one, I get blamed. And my mother would be called to town how much damage I made, not the cow. And you get it.
How did your mother punish you?
Well, holler like hell, and she would tell me that what she's going to do to me or something like, and that hurts. I was imagining what it would do to me.
Tell me about, did your mother do the laundry?
Yes.
How did people wash clothes back then?
Yes. I could tell you how they wash their clothes. When they have homemade linen. Homemade linen is, it's growing like wheat. You have to pull it out, and whatever seeds that has got to be separate. And then you soak it in the mud that it gets all rotten-like. See? And then you wash it in the brook that it's leaking there because it's in the mud on the edge of it. See? And then you dry it, and you have wooden horse-like. And this is all scraped out. And you put your thing cross, and you chop it till you have space that you could break it into it. Then you have it, you know, like they have the hairdresser with the selling hair, that comb, that head with the nails in it, that you comb through it. I see that in the store. See? And
this is like a card for combing wool,
you get
too.
All the wool, woody part out. Shake it out. See? You shake it out. And when it's so fine, shake it out, you have two different kinds. The nice straight like you have, that's for the linen. And the bunches, what it's lumpy, that's to make like the feed bags, let's say. You know what I mean?
For a rougher...
Rougher stuff, see?
Rougher stuff.
Yeah. And when you spin it, so you spin so much, and the have such a thing to put it like the skein, you call it, here the wool, and you count how many threads, and they make so many of those skeins, and the people comes who makes the linen. See? But before the thing is sent, when you bake bread, you have wooden things like you feed the birds, let's say. You put these skeins in here, and you take ashes, wood ashes. That's the bleach. I used to wash my hair in it. You put the ashes on it, and after they bake the bread, that like steam it. You know, it's still hot enough, warm enough for that. And that is bleaching. Then they wash it, these skeins, in the river that run through the town, and you dry it. And then the man comes through the town. He's the one who makes the linen. How much the measurement, whatever, that's how many yards you get. They know how many yards he's supposed to make out of that. And you have the linen. You have for tablecloths. The man used to, years ago, they used to make a shirt even out of it and embroider it fancy. So, sheets, everything. And when they wash it, a lot of big wash, they put it in the like big kettle, and they put that ashes on the clothes. Not the ashes, but the strain that put it in a bag, hot water in it, and over that. That's the bleach. And you'll be surprised how nice it comes out. Just everything homemade. Like I said, the roof was done, never any nails. And when the post in the barn, you know, like it's holding, standing up, they drill a holes and make nails that time. But after the war, everything is changing. Now they're almost fancier than we are here.
Tell me about what you wore for clothing when you lived in Czechoslovakia.
Well, clothing.
What did it look like?
Everything is like the skirts and the big aprons and blouses, almost like you have a jacket, a lady's jacket now. That was like
and
everything.
And what color were these clothes?
They were always like kind of darker color. And fancy clothes, everything embroidered. A lot of embroidery.
When would you wear fancier clothes?
Sunday. Sunday and special holidays. Every Sunday has a name. One is bigger than the other, not just the Sunday. So you have to know that.
What religion were you?
Catholic.
Describe for me how you celebrated Christmas in Czechoslovakia.
Well, in Czechoslovakia, well, like before Christmas, we used to go to church 6 o'clock in the morning. And that's dark. And, of course, when it comes to Christmas Eve, that day you keep on baking and everything, and special meal for that.
What
and
is the special meal that was
Well, the special meal is like the soup. They call it like sauerkraut soup, but if you don't like it, they make it a little different. But mushrooms, it's got to be mushrooms in it. And they call it like buns. You bake the things, your own homemade, you put liquor in it, you know that dark jelly? And you put ground poppy seed, that's the topping, with butter and honey with boiling water, you know, that it makes the thing juicier, like. And we have those waffles, like, from the church. So you eat the waffles first. Somebody comes with the Christmas tree, like, and say the wishing, you know? And they used to send their, like, youngest from the oldest. The oldest one was last year. So that's whether you want it or not. They want to see how, and they want to hear you. You say,
Pochwalim Panu Jezus Christ. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And wishing them everything, good health, and this and that. And to it comes to the amen. But you got to say everything what comes with it. So that's it. Then you sit down, and they make their own drink. Like you would say, you have whiskey. You don't drink whiskey. But you brown the sugar real good, and you pour the whiskey in it. You cooked it together. And they put stick of cinnamon in it, you know, that is flavor. And it's not so sharp after you do it. So they call it, that's the Jesus drink. See? So everybody gets a little drink. And you get a couple walnuts, and you get apple. Not every day apples. They have their own orchard, but not enough apples to go around all year, that's how much you want. See? So,
was there special songs that you sang at Christmas time?
Oh, yeah.
There a song that you remember in Czechoslovakian?
Yes.
Can you sing a little bit of it for us on tape?
Pasli ovce pastiri, betlehenske majeri, andel saim ukazal, do betlema inkazal. See? Ičte, go and go, like, adite, pana Krista najdete. Najdete ho jasličkách, povinutých plenečkách. He was wrapped up in the, diapers, you know. Maria ho kolíbe, she's rocking him. And Maria ho kolíbe, ninaj mu spieva. Yes? So that's the song. That every kid know it, because that never goes off the Christmas. It's always the same style, see? And then you go to midnight mass, see? And that's it.
So Christmas is a long, drawn-out kind of event.
3 days. That's terrible to make that feed for the cows for 3 days. Oh, Jesus Maria.
I wanted to ask you, mentioned earlier about a grandmother. Was this your mother's mother or father's
father?
Mother? Did she live with you?
Yes.
Tell me, describe your grandmother.
Oh, she was good. She was always saving, even if it couldn't help. When mother hollers, that hurt. She had to. But my grandmother, she used to say, oh, don't be naming everything so terrible, you know, to the kids, everything, you know. So she always say. And when I was notified that I'm going to the country, this, you know, here, she almost cried. She said, I have 5 daughters, and they didn't have to go. Why are you sending your little kid there? Oh, my mother, she said, that's the best way. Let her go. She missed my work because I was the oldest from the girls, but I got to go.
Why did you want to go to America?
I didn't want to go.
Okay,
how
did this happen then? Why?
Well, I guess about 22 girls was right after the World War I. So when it stops, first when the wives, then it went the family. By the time I got, that was already, everybody was going ahead. I wasn't the first one, see?
Did you have relatives in America already?
Yeah, that was just a cousin. The mothers were sisters, see? And there was 2 girls here, like the cousins. One in Allentown making the cigars. And this one was in Lansford. She used to be as a maid in New York City. But she went to visit a cousin in there, in Lentzworth. That's a coal mine. And they made her marry this guy. He had a butcher shop.
Oh,
that's what you told me.
He had a butcher shop.
A butcher shop, grocery, and one kid, and house. So she was, no matter which way, she could welcome me. See? Only thing she was expecting, my mother was very tall. And her mother was very short. I took after her mother, not my mother. So she made me undershirt, like the building shoulders, like the sleeves, out of the sugar bags. You know, they have grocery, the sugar used to be in those kind of bags. So she made me that, and she made me some clothes, something else, gathered from the neighbors. And I thought, this is the country that I'm going to stay. She said, what's the latest new song there, and how is this, and how is that? I just said, I like the kid, without any trouble, without anything. And she used to send me the crumbs to the back street, that you could see all that black stuff, all that thing was out of the mine. By the time I got there, this was all sugary cakes and things like that. I ate it.
When you were growing up in Czechoslovakia, what did you know about America?
Nothing. I have no idea.
Did you ever come in contact with anyone who had been in America?
Well, one of those cousins was here. She didn't feel good. She just got back from this country just before the World War I. I think she gave a lot of talk to my mother how she should do it, that it's okay, how everything is, and that's it.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
I didn't ask this before. Can you name them all for me?
I have a brother, Ferdinand, that was after the Habsburg name. And I had sister older than I am. She died during the war. She was 14.
What did she die of?
TB.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you remember about that experience?
Well, that experience, all I know, that she was sick for a while, and there was no medicine for that. Can you imagine? They took her to a doctor, and he's supposed to be a really doctor. You know what he gave her for that, whatever she had? Splashed the cold water on her chest. I said, my God. Keep on. And then they say, chop them. Why should we go there? That's the only thing he's going to recommend, to splash cold water on her chest, 14 years old, and she had TB. She died from it, you know. So.
Was that a common problem at that time, tuberculosis?
I have no idea.
Just in your family, she's the only
just
one.
Just I heard the lungs. It was the lungs. But I tell you, the lungs. You have shawl on your head. But you go without the shoes. In October, we dig the potatoes out and the beets and everything. The thing is frozen, the ground. She must have got a good call, 14 years old. Maybe she got her things and everything. Got a call and never got rid of it. And with that treatment, what I'm telling you. So this is it. That's what I remember.
How did your mother and father feel about you going to America?
My mother must have felt good. And my father, well, what can he say? America, everything is going swell. She's lucky that she could go. How many girls I remember were already going, like to Prague? They sent them back. One second time she came, and she had diabetes, you know? And they look at your eyes, and I remember my mother say, they turn her back, something her eyes. You know, even when I was coming off the steamer to that Ellis Island, that was the doctor standing between the door. First, he took off my Sunday kerchief and he put it over my arm. And this is the whole visit. That was the last visit. See? And you're supposed to have money with you that by the time you get a job, that you support yourself. Not like now. See? That I remember more. You got to have the money so much with you.
Tell me about the process of getting ready to leave Czechoslovakia, getting your papers and whatever you needed to have before you left.
I have nothing to say about that, because I guess my mother got the mail. She went to town. If she needed me, just to do that big signature. And I remember I wrote something. I don't know, but it must have been good enough. But what?
Who paid for your passage?
The cousin from Lansford, Pennsylvania.
Do you know how much that cost at that time?
$205.
$205?
Yeah. After I was, she brought me to some people that she was just guessing that they're there to leave me there overnight. They should put me to the agency, of course, Slovak agency. And any kind of a job, who said they take me? $30 a month. I slept in the hall. I had no clothes.
This is in America, right? We're not in America yet, though. Don't tell us this yet. So you got all your papers.
Yeah.
And this is the summer of 1922 when you were getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
And what did you pack when you left? What did you take with you?
Whatever my mother put there, not much. But I remember I had Sunday clothes. I thought if I have that Sunday clothes, I'm going to be all dressed up, was I?
Can you describe what they looked like, what your Sunday clothes looked like?
Well, it's a dark apron. And the skirt was like dark green with, you would say, like a pencil strips was like a silver, you know. It was green and that trimming was like on it. And the blouse, and you have like a jacket, see?
And that's you mentioned all. Your Sunday
and
kerchief.
And I suppose I have for every day and like Sunday too, the kerchief. That's it.
How did you wear your hair back then?
Oh, braided. You know, to make two, and on the end I had a little string, tie it. That's all. See? And that was a very big problem when they start to come this country. The first place they took you, that they clean your head, make sure that you're not boggy. And they were saying they shave you. Oh, that was terrible. That was terrible. If they're going to do to you, that's worse if they would cut your whole head off. You know. But I passed. Whatever it was, I passed.
Did your family give you a goodbye dinner or a little goodbye party?
No, I don't remember nothing. Just, she's going, you know. People would say, how come she's going? The other's there, she was sent back, and they didn't accept her or something like that. I went like a hotcake from one place to another, and she wrote, and she sent it, and you start to go whole month. I thought that it's because it's so far.
Did you want to leave?
No. I have nothing to say. You have nothing to say to your mother or father. I say, when I hear this, how it's going on, I say, they need somebody to hold these kids or pay for it. If your father have to pay for it, they would have to pay when I had that cow there, they name how many roots that cow is. And my mother would pay. My mother, I think she would rather kill me.
Tell me about the day that you left. Tell me about saying goodbye to your parents. Did they go with you to go to...
Yeah, took me to the train station through the fields. The station is from the other side of the different town. Go to the same station and you're coming from this side, you know?
And do you remember what you were carrying, what you had?
Yeah.
What?
My mother sending present to my cousin, a huge pillow, feathers, and European feathers. And you know what that means, European feathers? The kids, winter time, you have to split every feather. Every feather, get the middle out. Because that's going to stick you through the things. See? So that's a wintertime job. Embroidering, feathers, put a pile of beans, get the dirt out of it, some kind of a little nuts, stone or something. They give you a job to do it no matter when, to keep you quiet.
So you were carrying this large pillow with you.
Yeah, the pillow. And I had suitcase made, what you call it, Franny, the tweed upletene from the Pussy Willow tree. Things, It's like they have the wine in it, these baskets.
Oh. Wicker, almost like
yeah,
like a wicker.
I couldn't think of it, yeah, yeah. That I had. And my mother, she put a two so on it for I could, on the train, it's so hard to step up. And I'm not big now. I wasn't any bigger that time. For I could grab the thing to get to the train. I had that on my back. And the feathers.
A lot of things to juggle around. How did you feel when you said goodbye to your parents?
I guess goodbye. I don't even know whether I said it. I don't remember whether they kissed me or kissed them. That I don't remember because it was such a big thing. Just follow everybody. Main thing, they put me on the train and go. That train supposed to tell me where to get off.
Now, were you traveling alone or were you traveling with other people?
There was another girl.
Was she from
going
town?
From the same town, yeah.
So you were
we were holding together. Even on the boat, we were together.
So you got the train. Where did the train go to?
That Svatoborica first. That they comb the hairs and look for the bugs or whatever they want. And from there to Prague. And the Prague was quite a long time because we were waiting to the...
How long were you in Prague?
I can't remember. It must have been a few days, if not a week. And then all that time, so... In Havre, we were long.
So you went from Prague to Le Havre? Did you go?
To the Havre, I think, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you said that you had some examinations of your hair in the first place. What else did they examine?
If maybe I had some physical. I know we had it in Prague, you know. And
where did you stay when you were in Prague?
That's already for these people. You know, like, it's a station. But these are the agents, because you don't know, why am I here? Where am I going? You don't ask nobody. He comes and he calls your name. So they have it.
They have a big facility there just for people who are immigrating.
Before you buy the ticket for the steamer, they have sections with the name, but which one you go. So I guess whoever sent the deposit, they already called the name. They send them notice home that they should come. And when you come there, I suppose they wait by the train. How do I know where to go? See, they already know how many people are coming, so he's gathering his people that he has list, and you just follow him. And wherever he takes you, you stay there, whether it's days or just overnight, and then finally, like you would say, for that visa, we go into the consulate, they say, you know. Everybody who's supposed to get it or they were giving to these people, whether it was just from Czechoslovakia, you just follow it till you get to the desk when your name is called again. And then he took you back wherever. I have no idea.
So you're totally in the hands of the steamship agent.
No matter where I went, nobody was that I know who's waiting for me. See, you don't.
So you go from Prague to France, to Le Havre. How long were you there in France?
Like I say, they even borrowed the clothes for church, what I had. So I must have been there one Sunday for sure, because I think one Sunday we went the way we were. We want to go to church, God forbid, to forget it.
Do you remember anything about the trip from Prague over to France?
No. You just sit, I guess you sit in the train, quiet, till they tell you, get off. How do I know where to get off? See?
And then did you get on the ship in Le Havre? Yeah. What was the name of the ship?
Ile de France.
And tell me what you thought when you saw the ship.
See, the thing was like this. From home, I don't know how come that this agency, they got the name. They sent 300 crowns deposit. And when we got to the agency that already, you could see him, but I don't know who he is. But there were two people from visiting from this country, and they were coming back. And they say to us, what line are you going? And who is the name of the agency? And we said the name. Oh, my God, you're going to be there forever. Like you're going to go like in the bathtub. You know, good for nothing, cheap. So... The older girl right away, we talked to them. We say, well, we have deposit there, you know, to lose the money. What would my mother say? He said, don't even know the fire that you hear. Don't pay any attention to him. And then we asked him, well, how can we go on another? So they say they're going with this other friend in 5.5 days. So they must know something. So that's how we went there. And we never mentioned it that we're there to that guy that I sent deposit. So then I wrote to my mother from Lansford what happened. No, he sent it back, the 300 grand.
I'm just curious, do you remember what ship you were supposed to go on?
No. Only the agency. Chenek Schultz. Chenek Schultz. You know, like with the C with the thing on. Chenek Schultz.
It's quite a memory to
yeah.
The name of the agent.
Yeah. But how he looked, whether old man or young man, or whether he had somebody already there, you know? No, see?
That, well, aren't you glad you listened to those people? Tell me about the Ile-de-France. What can you describe?
Oh, that was a big
steamer,
you know.
Was that the first ship that you had ever seen?
That's, I never see even a kid putting a boat on the edge of the thing.
Tell me what you thought about when you saw the ship and realized
well,
that you're going
was,
onto this
I
thing.
Was imagining it's got to be big. Can it in a more? More, they used to call it the ocean, you know, in Europe. So that was fine. We were going up and down the steps, you know, on the outside.
Where did you sleep on the ship? Describe.
We were four in the cabin.
Can you describe the cabin for me?
Dark, you know. I think we had sink, like, between the bed. I don't remember the toilet or anything like that. You know, that I don't remember. I know the sink was there and four girls. And when it was time to eat, you go up. Wherever the dining room was, you come down and you stay there. And after you go, roll out to go on the top, or did I go with somebody, or did they take us that you have to go up a little bit? That I don't remember. So,
do you remember anything that sticks out in your mind that happened while you were on the ship? Some event that might have occurred.
They were calling their names, and one of the agents, he said, oh, these are the ones, they all come with the Y on the end. Owa, 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 you know? And everybody was like, they didn't say Porubsky, Porubsky, owa, Porubsky, owa, you know, cashed up. Everybody was like that. So he was making like fun of the name that everybody was like that. For what? Why he was calling the people on the top when they were just sitting around? I don't know. Whether they could do some games or something, I have no idea.
Was it a smooth voyage or a rough voyage?
It was. Oh, it was. They were saying that it goes like 28 things up and down. It was a couple of days, but not much.
Did you get seasick?
Well, maybe a little bit, but I was going. I was pretty good. I wasn't really doctoring or laying in bed, but you feel like you were sick. So you go third grade, you know that. They don't ask you. You go according to your money, I suppose, you know. That's it. And I didn't have any doctor that I would be seasick. That's all.
Did they offer any kind of entertainment for you while you were on the ship?
No, I don't remember anything. Only I know that we went up, you know, on the air.
Do you remember any other passengers entertaining themselves in any way?
No, no, no. Sitting around, and you go to the table. I don't remember whether you had your same place to sit or whether wherever you come sit down, you know, like everybody together. I know it was a long table that we were sitting, eating.
How long were you on the ship itself? I know that you left your town on August 24th.
Well, that 5.5 days.
5.5 days you were on the
ship. I guess the steam is going to sail today. So if it's already there, you know, they got us together and the papers, all you finish. Put a stop and examination, otherwise you won't get there. That's got to be done before that, see?
Do you remember seeing the Statue of Liberty when you came into New York Harbor?
I guess I did. I don't remember, you know, because Statue of Liberty, you could see from the big thing. And you hear, you surprise, you only watch front of yourself or the people for them to leave you there or something. You're scared. See? And after I was inside, we were inside, we were there left to be careful with them. These are the we can't let them go. They have nobody to go to yet to pick them up.
You're talking about at Ellis Island.
Yeah.
So the ship comes into New York Harbor.
Yeah.
And then what happened once the ship docked?
When the ship docks, the ferry is there. See? And the porters were getting their suitcases who wants help. And whether you want help, I didn't know what he's saying, I guess. He was talking to me and gave me the number for the suitcase and get him that. And I was holding that to the feathers. Can you imagine? No comb, no towel, no toothpaste, no change. What did I sleep in as I was? I don't remember that.
So the ferry took you over to Ellis Island?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then what happened when you got to Ellis Island?
Walk with the people.
What did it look like?
It looks like a big station or big hall or whatever you would think. Something big. To me, everything was big because I never was anywhere to see anything bigger than my house.
Were there lots of people there? Or?
Yeah, and they were coming, even the colored people. Oh, that was, I say, my God, they look so big, and I look so small because I wasn't big.
Had you ever seen a black person before?
No. Yes, I see the chimney sweeper.
He was black only accidentally.
Oh, yeah. He had a thing that for years he's wearing the same thing, you know what I mean? And that thing hanging that he scraped the thing, and he stands front of the oven, big oven that you bake, see? And it's a space like this, see? This is, you could put your stuff on it. Here you're cooking summertime. And here you have the thing when they kill the pig, that you put the copper, big thing like the cowboys used to cook on the outside. That's a big things are going cooking when you're doing the butchering. And he stands on it, you know, that here you have the wood underneath. He stands here and he put his big broom made out of the branches, you would say, and he's standing and he wiggled it up and all that stuff falling down, see? And when there's big girls like teenagers, he say, hello, he marks them, and little kids are afraid of it. When he goes, he always run, and he's got like a sleeping no bag on it, and his foot is all black, and he say, wait, the chimney man is coming. I'm going to give it to you if you don't behave yourself. Well, that's terrible, black man like that.
All right, well, let's get back to Ellis.
All right.
So right. What happened?
Isn't that enough?
What? No, well, we've got to get you into an exact. Yeah, you're still on Ellis Island. What happened exactly at Ellis Island? Do you remember? What did they do? You mentioned your eyes.
Well, then finally when that cousin got, I guess, noticed, so her husband that I never seen before, because she got married in this country, see? So I hear the name, and that was like shock to me. That touched me good. So after they were finished with him, they called me to sit down and talk. Why did I leave the country? I say, we were finished with this kind of a work, and my mother said that I guess they don't need me or something. Well, that's it. He had the rest of it already done. And what I was supposed to put down, it was there. So not much talk.
So how long were you at Ellis Island?
Well, I think we came Friday. And being a Saturday and Sunday, not doing any work, that's why I was there. Oh. And whether it came Thursday, I can be sure. Only it seems awfully long.
But you stayed overnight there.
Oh, a couple nights.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Do you remember where you slept at Ellis Island?
Well, on those bunk beds, like bed next to bed. How they have it all the time, you know. Not one room or three, the whole thing, let's say, from here to the last wall.
Did they feed you while you were
yes.
silent?
Oh,
what
yes.
was that experience?
Well,
like?
I don't even know what we had for breakfast, but the whoever it was, she had the stick and she went on the bed. You know, like you would go next to iron fence with the stick, rubber, that's the way the You should know that, come on, that she was calling you. She didn't call, see? And you follow her, and you go dining room. I guess it wasn't far. It was there. So everybody together.
Did you see anything at Ellis Island that you had never seen before?
No. Only the inside, because I don't think I was inside, you know, only you were inside. Evening we were sitting, they were playing like some kind, maybe records or whatever it was, and they gave us a cup of milk before the bedtime, like right there in that hall, to everybody, see? And you went to bed.
Were there nationalities that you had never been exposed to?
Sure, from all different countries, I suppose, there were there people. You don't know nobody. Only that girl I know, but she went because she was older and she was to New York City. So we separate. Once you hit the between the door out of the steamer and that doctor finished, you go back on the ferry if you have people there waiting for you. See? And if they're not waiting by the ferry, by the steamer, like the ferry comes from New York City, let's say, these people who went to New York City, so they would go back on the ferry, you know, whoever was waiting for them. And if you're old enough, you have your address, you show them, somebody poke you, take this, you know? And my husband, when he was coming, he went to 14th Street. And he could go because he was already out from the army, you know.
Well, how did you feel when they separated you from this young lady who was your traveling companion? How did you feel about having
I didn't know how, when she disappeared, like I say, you go one after another between the door. You're not pushing. You're going to the doctor, I say. They don't let three or four between the door, one after another. Once she passed, I didn't know where she disappeared, if she went in front of me. And if she went behind me. When I was alone, I got to go where they push me. See? That's the way it was.
Do you remember if you felt frightened about being there by yourself, or if you really weren't frightened?
I was frightened only that I had to stay there. And I'm in this country already. I didn't know why. All I was thinking that they're going to send me back. Nobody explained it to me why, or you're going to go home soon, they're going to pick you up. Nobody talked to you, see? You're just sitting and you don't know what's going to happen to you, see?
So your cousin's husband
picked me up
to get you.
Yeah.
Do you remember what your impressions were of this man?
Nothing, not much. I don't think I say hello or glad to see you. I guess nothing. He just see a kid in front of him and follow him back to the ferry and to these people in New York City. I remember they all the way up, and the street was so dark, so the houses so close there, you know? So but that was his people. I didn't question him, nothing, you know, you just keep quiet.
Did he speak your language?
Yeah, sure.
Did he try to be friendly with you?
He wasn't a much talker, you know, just what he had to. And I stand next to him, you can imagine, high shoes and the house dress that people gave me. Why don't they leave me my Sunday clothes where I came from? So they want to change me, they want to be good and be more like the rest of it. I can imagine the hat with the fruit on. And next morning, their cousin kid, 4 years old, he was playing football with it. And I feel so bad. I say, I have to bring the clothes back to the people. Oh, don't worry about it. They gave you something that they don't need it anymore.
Tell me how you spent your first night.
In her house?
Right, but tell me what that experience was like, sleeping in America.
It was like a fancy home. And yet, they had only coal stove. They had cold water running. They didn't even have a bathroom yet. We used to wash up in the top front of the coal stove in the kitchen. And they had butcher shop, and they had grocery. So afterwards, they moved the house extra room to the outside, that it was like porch, You know, made the extra room. Then they have steam heat and everything.
Do you remember the address of the first apartment that you went to?
Oh, sure.
Where was it in New York?
To New York?
Well, the first night that you stayed at your cousin's house.
To my cousin?
Yes. Do you remember
it
where
was,
she lived?
It was 6 East Abbott Street, Lansford.
Oh, that's in Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
But the first night you stayed in New York.
Oh, correct? New York, 408 72nd Street.
408 72nd
Street. Second Street. Uh-huh. That was a little off First Avenue, toward to the East River. Now it's the New York Hospital there.
We need to pause because I need to put another tape in the machine. So we're going to just pause for a moment.
Did anybody talk so much like I do?
Okay, we are now beginning tape 2 with Anna Krupa, who came from Czechoslovakia in 1922 when she was 15. And I also want to state that Jillian Hirsch from the Saratoga newspaper